This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
We do love Christmas carols, don't we? That's what we're here for. We're here to sing Christmas carols. And there's heaps of Christmas songs out there. And there's a stack of variety of Christmas songs. Some are a bit weird and others are a bit dodgy, perhaps. But I was listening to one the other day. You might know it, Dominic the Donkey. Anyone heard of Dominic the Donkey? Yeah, good. You can sing along with me. I've brought my backing track here. Let me just sing it for you. It goes a bit like this. It's got a little friend. His name is Dominic. The cutest little donkey. You'll never see him kick. When Santa visits his Dominic, you'll be. Because the reindeer cannot climb the hills of Italy. Hey, chiggity chig. Hee-haw, hee-haw. It's Dominic the Donkey. Yeah. Okay. There you go. Anyway, there's hundreds of Christmas songs. That's just one. My wife said she'd kill me if I sung that. And many songs are worth singing, aren't they? Like the ones that we've sung here tonight, and others maybe a little bit more forgettable. But what I want to do is I just want to go back for a minute to the first ever Christmas carol, the first one that got things going. Now, originals are always the best, yeah? The first has to be worth singing. It's from the Bible passage that was just read to us a moment ago. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I love this, right? Because it's short and it's memorable and it's the fundamental beginnings of Jesus. It goes like this: glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Easy to remember. Now, we're used to singing at big events, aren't we? We kind of belt out national anthems at anything we can, and we make up silly random songs for sporting events. Our very own Western Sydney Wanderers. Anyone a fan? Yeah, okay, no one. I am. They have a song that goes like this: win or lose, we'll always follow you. Let it rain, let it pour, we'll sing forevermore. Our opponents know we'll fight them toe to toe forever, red and black. You can bet your life on that. Warms your heart, doesn't it? Wow, pity doesn't help him win. But anyway, we like to express things in song. And 2,000 years ago, it was no different to that. Verse 13, an angel has just been, he's announced a history-changing event, and suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts, a heavenly army, an angelic entourage, if you like, appeared with the angels praising God. You can picture it, right? And they're singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. What event could prompt such an eruption of praise? Well, just before this song, there's a bunch of shepherds. They're just doing what they do in the field with their sheep. And then verse 9, an angel of the Lord, an angel's just a messenger from God. He appears to them, and as you would be, they're scared out of their brains. And he's got an announcement. He's got this announcement. Let's read it. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for you, that will be for all people. See, this is huge. Verse 11, here it is. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is an epic announcement. A baby has just been born, and the angels describe him as Savior, Christ, Lord. Now, these are, we don't really use those words all that much today, do we? They're pretty churchy words, I guess. But for the people back then, they would have used these words heaps in their Old Testament scriptures, the first half of the Bible, and so it would have made an immediate impact on them as they hear this description. A Savior has arrived. I kind of think Bondi Rescue, you know? A lifesaver, a liberator, someone who will come and deliver the people from the enemies forever, and he is the Christ. That is, he is the anointed one, someone who's chosen and blessed, marked out by God himself to come again and deliver his people from oppression. And he is Lord. He is King. He has ultimate and final authority. You see how huge this announcement is? The description is one is of one greater than any other before or after. He is the King of Kings. Never has there been anyone come to earth described like this. See, the message from the angels is nothing less than when you go and you find that baby wrapped in secondhand cloth, lying at the back of that dodgy manger in an animal trough, take note. Because this is God Himself coming as a human to be a saving king. Now we realize why the heavenly entourage erupts into song, yeah? Glory to God in the highest. They know how good this is and that only God can make it happen, so they want to give Him credit for it. Glory to God in the highest. But you know, the next line they sing, I reckon, gets right down to the nitty-gritty of why this announcement matters so much and why it matters for us this Christmas. The second line, you know it, right? It's very memorable. It tells us exactly what this baby Jesus is on earth to do. It says, on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. Now, I don't want to be a party pooper at Christmas time, but these angels, they seem to imply that there's some people on earth on whom God's favor doesn't rest. Yeah, would you agree with that? On earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. There's some on whom God's favor doesn't rest. That seems to be what it implies. I wonder if you've ever thought about that. It's a bit of a sobering thought, isn't it, that there are people on whom God's favor doesn't rest? Let's just try and test that a little bit. Yeah? Try and test that a little bit. Does God's favor rest on me when He wants me to treat my wife with love and respect and I don't? Does God's favor rest on me when He wants me to be patient but so often I lose my temper at my kids? Does God's favor rest on me when, you know, He gives me so much every day and yet often I just don't remember to thank Him? Does His favor rest on me then? Does God's favor rest on perpetrators of crime and violence? You know what? I hope not. Right? I hope not, because for God to be God, He must be right, yeah? He must be just and trustworthy. And if He is all those things, then He can't just turn a blind eye when people offend Him. You wouldn't want a God like that, right? So I want to ask you tonight, have you done anything which might offend God, which makes His favor not rest on you? It's a sobering thought, isn't it? See, the Bible says, right? The Bible says that our indifference to God and our selfishness actually makes Him angry, and it says that there is no one who isn't selfish. We know that, right? Everyone's selfish. There's no one who isn't selfish. All have ignored God, and now it's like we're at war with God. We're enemies with Him. There is no peace. But the great thing about that very first carol, and this is why I love it so much, is that the angels, they're celebrating that there now can be peace. See, they know that this baby born, this Jesus the King, they know that through Him, God was making it possible for His favor to rest on every person. There is now an avenue of peace, avenue for peace between man and God, that is Jesus Christ. And so the question this song raises is this: how does God's favor rest on me? How does God's favor rest on you? Because, you know, I don't know about you, I want to be at peace with God this Christmas. I don't want Him to get angry with me, to punish me, to walk away from me because I just keep offending Him, right? That would be a devastating Christmas. I'm sure you'd agree with that. Friends, you know, you and I can't do anything to earn His favor. We'll just keep stuffing it up and offending Him. But God can do it, and that's why He sent Jesus, to be a savior, to be a reconciler. But, you know, of course, this peace is not just achieved by this little baby. This is just the start of things. If you read on, you'll discover that Jesus grows into a man and, get this right, he voluntarily dies on a cross. Sounds crazy, but all the things that make us at war with God, he died for. And 3 days later, he rose to life to render them powerless. And for those who choose him as their king, they will share in peace. They will share in the peace and the reconciliation that he brings. This is the ultimate reconciliation story. You need to look into this one if you haven't before. So to finish with a story, I used to live in Papua New Guinea and I live next door to Grace and Edmund Fabian and their family. And they're a lovely family. They'd been working as missionaries in Papua New Guinea. And after 24 years, they were just about to finish their work, helping the local people get the scriptures into their own language. It's a big thing, 24 years. And they were kind of in a celebrative mood. But all that changed on April 29, 1993. One of their local co-workers, in a psychotic episode, murdered Edmund as they were working together. And it was horrific. It was so tragic for my Auntie Grace and her family. But you know what moves me most about her and her story? Is within a year, she would go to the hospital where her husband's killer was, and she would spend hours meeting with him. She'd pray with him. She forgave him. She helped him. They kept working together despite the circumstance and incredible pain. That's a pretty amazing story of reconciliation, yeah? Well, I want to say the Christmas story blows that out of the water. Because what we're talking about in the Christmas story is not about peace between two humans. We are talking about peace with the God of the universe. We don't deserve for God to reconcile with us, but Christmas is the story of how he begins a greater reconciliation story than all others, where he sent his son that people might have peace with God. This is an opportunity to be right with God, right with the God that we are at war with, and to be eternally right with him. Now, I know there's some here tonight who haven't ever made peace with God. And there's many here who have kind of, you know, drifted away from him. And you know, right, you know deep down that God's favor doesn't rest on you. There's heaps of us here tonight like that, I'm sure. Well, I want to invite you to make peace with God tonight. You know, all you have to do is just talk to God and to say, yeah, you know what, I admit that I've lived without you, God. I'm sorry. I want to be at peace with you. I can't do it on my own. Thank you for sending Jesus that very first Christmas. Thank you that he died and that he rose for me. Thank you that I can now be at peace with you because of Jesus. I'm going to lead us in that prayer. You might like to pray that. You might have been listening to this and you want to pray that now. You might want to explore it more. Fantastic. We've got lots of opportunities to do that. But maybe you want to pray this tonight. I'm just going to say a line, I'll leave a little pause, and you might like to just pray it quietly in your head, in your heart after me. I admit that I've lived without you, God. I'm sorry. I want to be at peace with you. I can't do it on my own. Thank you for sending Jesus that first Christmas. Thank you that he died and rose again for me. Thank you that I can now be at peace with you because of Jesus. Amen. Can I say, if you have prayed that, it won't be chiggity-ching, hee-haw, hee-haw, Dominic the donkey. No, no, it'll be glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.